You are listening to the North Podcast, a ministry of Mount Perrin North in Marietta, Georgia.
Blessing. Is he worthy? Amen. Hear his word from Hebrews chapter 9. When Christ came as the high priest of all good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of blood, the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. But how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Folks, we've come here tonight to celebrate and to remember what Jesus did. Perfect, spotless Lamb of God entered into the Holy of Holies in the holy place of all in heaven by his own blood to redeem us, to make us clean, to fulfill the law and the prophets. And we come here tonight to remember and recognize and worship the one who is worthy above all other names, the one who is worthy above all other gods. It is Jesus. Let's go to him now in prayer. Let's welcome him. Let's welcome the Spirit of God into this place. Jesus, we, your church, we declare that you are worthy. Lord, we know it's Good Friday, but we've read the rest of the story. We're living the rest of the story. You are alive and alive forevermore. Root of Jesse, son of David, son of God, son of man, Savior, Redeemer, Jesus, your church gathers tonight to honor you, to worship you, to say thank you. So Spirit of the living Christ, come. Come and inhabit and empower the praises of your people to the glory of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Be forever praised. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give him praise tonight. Amen. Amen.
We worship you, the Lamb who was slain. All glory and honor to you today. We sing.
See him there, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross.
Come on, who's thankful tonight?
Yes, we do it. Lift it up. Calvary's hill, we curse your name, and even still, you bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank you for
we behold the Lamb.
The story of redemption written on.
it up.
Creation cries, holy, grateful hearts. We worship you, God. We praise your name. All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. You say, so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for you except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one view. With my arms stretched wide, it's all I have, but I give it to you, Jesus. We lift you high. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Help us worship you well, God. Oh, no, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me.
Nothing else fit for a king, except for our hearts singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Come on, we're here to lift him high. We're not in a hurry tonight. Just open up your mouth and speak his praise. Tell him how grateful you are. Worship him, adore him.
He gave his life.
time, just the voices. Come on, we sing, sing.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Jesus himself said in John 15, 13, no greater love has anyone than he lay down his life for his friends. You know, we throw the phrase, I love you, around a lot in our society, right? And sometimes we throw it around so much, people will say in response, yeah, prove it. No greater love has anyone than he lay down his life for his friends. And because of that sacrifice, Jesus is worthy of our praise. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that because Jesus was obedient and humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, that God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's worthy. Come on, can you put your hands together and give him your highest praise tonight because he's worthy? Blessed be your holy name. Lord, tonight we gather today and tonight, and we don't ask you for a thing except to receive honor and praise and glory that we give to you. You are worthy. You were worthy when you created us. You were worthy when you had a plan for us when we didn't have a plan for ourselves. You were worthy when you knew we would sin and you became sin for us and you died on a cross. You were worthy when you went into a tomb that was meant for us. You were worthy when you rose from the dead. And you are worthy today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, preparing all things for us in eternity. So, Lord, tonight, receive praise and adoration and honor from your people. You are worthy. We love you. Amen and amen. Come on, give him your praise tonight. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Happy Good Friday to you. Good to see you. I want you to find five or six folks and say, you look really good for a Friday, okay? And then you can be seated after that. Hey, they don't look that good. Man, it's great to see you. Glad you're here tonight. Welcome to Mount Perrin North for Good Friday service. You know, as we celebrate Good Friday, a lot of people wonder, why is the day Jesus died considered good? It's because of the things that he has accomplished for us. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn with me to the book of John, if you would. We're going to start in John chapter 10. We'll be in John chapter 19 as well. And a little while later, we'll wind up in Revelation chapter 5. You know, I probably scared you right there when I said a little while later. This is going to be brief, okay? So you don't have to hunker down or anything, all right? It's going to be fine. On Good Friday, we remember the death of Jesus. Jesus died on a Roman form of execution called a cross. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. And yet, at the same time, we remember that suffering as good. Many times we think of the death of Jesus as an injustice that is done, because we read the story as if it's a story you read in a book or a newspaper or an article in that. We read it from the human standpoint. We don't read it from God's standpoint. We see the suffering that happens to him, and we see an injustice that was committed, because injustice resonates with us. Now, we live in a society in America that has one of the greatest systems of justice known to man, ever known to man, but it's not perfect. There's no way it can be, because humans are involved. As a matter of fact, injustice happens. There's miscarriage of justice. There's injustice that happens sometimes. And it's not because of ill will or deceit. It just happens. And sometimes it happens in the most distinct and cruel forms. And as a matter of fact, in 1989, there was a man named Carlos de Luna in Texas that was charged with a murder, a vicious murder of a woman. He proclaimed his innocence. He put up a defense. But there was an eyewitness that looked at him and said, that's the person I saw. That looks like the person that I saw running away from the scene at the time of the accident, at the time of the murder. He literally kept proclaiming his innocence. 6 years later, after all his appeals ran out, he was executed. And then an investigation began. There was another man, another Carlos named Hernandez, who, when you see the mugshots, they look so much alike that actually Carlos de Luna's own sister had to look at it twice to realize it wasn't him that she was looking at. It was the other man. The other man, Carlos Hernandez, while he is in jail for the 39th time, confessed to the murder of that woman and said, another Carlos, my namesake, got blamed for that one. It's an injustice. We read that and we think, how does a travesty like that happen? You see, I can read scripture because I love a good book. I love to read articles. I love all those things. I can read scripture sometimes, and I can literally impose myself and think, not what's the story that's there. I can read the story of Jesus. I can see the things that are leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus, and I can say, oh, no, if something just would have happened here, right? If the Jewish leaders were not so jealous and power-hungry, this would have never happened. If Pilate would have listened to the dream that his wife had and really listened, this could have been avoided. If Jesus would have told the Father, and the Bible says that he could have called down angels from heaven to take him out of that moment. If it had just done this, all of this could be avoided. And I think from the perspective of, if any of this happened, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross, because this is an injustice. But it is not an injustice. It was God's justice being poured out on Jesus for us. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a miscarriage of justice. No, Jesus, the Bible says, is the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God in the sacrificial system. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the Lamb of God from the very foundation of the world. It was always intended to be. And sometimes when we come to Good Friday, we can come with somber attitudes because he is the son of suffering. He did die on a cross. But we can come in and say, oh, it just didn't have to be. But it did have to be because of our sins. And it wasn't a miscarriage of justice. It wasn't an injustice. It was God's justice poured out on his own son, his son who's been willing from the very beginning of creation to be our sacrifice. Jesus even told them. He warned them ahead of time. In John chapter 10, he tells them, look, you think this is going to happen to me? When he tells his disciples, he says, the Son of Man's going to be handed over. He's going to be executed. And they're devastated by this. But here's what he says. He says in verse 17 and 18, he says, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Jesus is telling him ahead of time. He says, I'm going to a cross. I'm going to die. But it's not because injustice is being carried out. It's not because anyone has power or authority over me. No, I have the authority that I need, and I will lay down my life and I will take it back up again. And there's one reason for that. For your sins. And so that we can have a restored relationship with God, that's been broken from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, John chapter 19 tells us the completion of Jesus' perfect sacrifice. It says, then Pilate, who's the Roman governor, turned Jesus over to them, the religious leaders, to be crucified. And so they took Jesus away, and carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called the place of the skull. In Hebrew, it's Golgotha. And there they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Verse 28, and Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And so a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. Notice this, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. It's finished. The task is done. The deed is done. All things are complete. This is why Good Friday is so important. This is why the cross is so important. Now listen, the cross and the resurrection on Easter are equally important. Some people will minimize the cross, but say, oh, it's not about the cross, it's about the resurrection, because the cross doesn't mean anything without the resurrection. Can I tell you something? The resurrection means nothing without the cross. They work in tandem. You see, the resurrection that will happen 3 days later is not the first resurrection that will happen in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that there are 9 other occasions in the Bible besides Jesus rising from the dead when resurrection will occur. And none of them changed your eternity. Only this one. Why? Because of the cross. The others were to prove the power of God. The cross proved the love of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but have eternal life. That's for you and for me. That's from the worst of us to the, quote, best of us. Because Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Why is that? Because Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no payment or remission for sin. In the very beginning, when sin entered the world, God had to cover man's shame. We tried to cover it. Adam and Eve with fig leaves. God made animal skins, and for the first time, death entered the world. Blood was spilled to cover the sins of man. Way back in the Garden of Eden. The wages of sin is death. But it goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus paid the cost so that we might have the relationship restored. Because of the sacrifice and the death of Jesus, Easter Sunday means now that we can be raised to new life, not just a life, but new life. That means abundant life here and eternal life to come. That means we're raised to new life without the power of sin and shame and suffering have authority over our lives anymore. When Jesus walks out of the grave on Sunday morning, because of the cross, the victory has been won and we have eternal life and abundant life here. And they work together. The cross was necessary for the relationship to be restored. The resurrection was necessary so that we could live forever in that restored relationship. The Bible says he's the Lamb of God. He died as a lamb. He rose as a lion. He is coming back with authority. But the book of Revelation, chapter 5, tells us that it really isn't because of his power and authority that he is worshiped in heaven. It is because of his willingness to be the sacrifice as the lamb. In verses 9 through 13, it says, and they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The reason we gather on Good Friday is because Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And that's just not rhetorical. That's just not generic. That's not just arbitrary. That's your sins and that's my sins, and we can stand here today clean and redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus came to restore a relationship, not just for mankind, but for you and for me. You know, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were hiding from God because of their shame. God walks in the cool of the day and he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" They said, "We're hiding because we did what we knew not to do." Today, he's still asking, "Where are you?" Sin wants you to hide. Shame wants you to hide. And God is approaching, saying, "Where are you?" Good Friday is when God drew near, paid the price for our sins, so that you could draw near to him and have the relationship you were created for. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, please? I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to call you out. We're going to partake of Holy Communion in just a moment. And I want you to be able to partake of that as a follower of Christ. But if you're in this place and you know when you came in here tonight, things weren't right between you and the Lord, I just want you to pray a prayer, something like this. "Lord Jesus, I thank you for all you have done for me. I thank you that you were willing to be a sacrifice. You sacrificed for my sins. And what I think is an injustice is actually God's justice poured out on you for me. So Lord, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. I yield to you. I bow my knee, joining all creation to the one who was and is to come. I surrender my life to your lordship. Lead me through your word and by your spirit, and I'll never be the same." I'm going to ask everyone just to pray this prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, I give you my life." One more time. "Jesus, I give you my life." Now, with your head still bowed, eyes still closed, no one but the ministry team and me looking around, not here to embarrass you, I want to pray for you this week. If you know when you came in this place, things weren't right between you and the Lord, but you're making a decision to follow him for the first time or the first time in a long time, say, "Pray for me, Pastor, that's me." Would you just raise your hand really high while no one's looking around? Keep it up just for a moment, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Best decision you've ever made. Amen. Amen. All right, you can put them down. Father, we thank you once again, not because of anything that we say, but because the power of the gospel, that lives have been changed and eternities have been changed. I pray today that you would take the sin and the shame off of their shoulders and the weight that they've been carrying around. And I pray you would give them joy unspeakable, full of glory, and fill them with your peace. Accomplish your purpose and your destiny for their lives. Thank you, Lord, that on this Good Friday, it got even better because of those who accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, bless our time together in these next few moments. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Listen, if you made a decision to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, one of the great things is we're about to partake of Holy Communion together. We do this as a body of believers, and you're part of the body of Christ. And can I just tell you, there were three of you in this room, and I just want to say welcome to you. You made the best decision of your life. Amen. Now, if you don't know anything about communion, communion is when we remember the sacrifice of Jesus. On the night before Jesus was crucified, the Bible tells us that he's having a Passover meal with his disciples. And he's taking the elements of Passover, but when he takes the bread and the juice, and he begins to distribute those, instead of the normal way of Passover, he begins to tell them, he says, from now on, when you partake of these, I want you to remember me. It's not just about something a long time ago, he said. It's not just about what God did in Egypt, delivering his people out and wrath passing over them. It's now about God's wrath passes over you because of what Jesus has done through his blood that was spilled for us and his body that was broken for us. The bread represents the body of Jesus. The cup represents the blood of Jesus. Tonight, we're going to come forward and we're going to partake of Holy Communion. There are stations all around you. Just find the one that's most convenient to you. It may not be the one that's closest to you if the line's long. Find the one that's closest to you or most convenient for you. And tonight we're going to partake by what's called a method of intinction, okay? What that means is you'll take the bread. There'll be elders here that will instruct you, answer any questions that you have. You'll take the bread, and then you'll dip it into the cup, and then you'll take it and partake of both of those together as you do that. It's a method called intinction. You'll come forward, partake of it, and then return to your seat. And after we've all partaken of it together, we will then celebrate in a little bit more worship and praise together. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. I'm going to pray over this moment. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Holy Communion. The Apostle Paul wrote and said that the cup and the blood are so important. They're so weighty that we examine ourselves. Tonight we have examined ourselves and we have welcomed some into the fold. And you reminded us that on the same night that the Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." It also says, and then he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood in the new covenant. Take and drink as often as you do in remembrance of me." As often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We remember what you've done. We proclaim it now. And we proclaim it all the way until you come again, because your word is true. And if you've overcome death, hell, and the grave, literally, Lord, you called your shot and you did it. You said, "They're going to bury me. I'm going to rise again." If you can take your life back up again, you can bring us home with you forever and ever. And tonight we celebrate that and remember that in Holy Communion. We thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. I'm going to invite our elders to come and pastors to come. Take your place. And then just find the one that is most convenient for you. If you have any questions at all, find one of the sanctuary hosts or the elders as we worship together.
proclaimed its victory. The King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross that made for sinners.
You.
know, when Jesus died on the cross on Friday, he rose from the dead on Sunday. Saturday was such a day of consternation and worry and fear for those that were experiencing it at that moment. But it's not for us, because we know the rest of the story. Jesus told them ahead of time. The Bible says they just didn't understand it. It wasn't until he rose from the dead that his disciples even got it. But we get it. And we can be intentional today, tomorrow, and Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Day. We can be intentional saying, we are going to celebrate what God has done. The Bible says that he even descended into Hades and hell itself to free the captives between Friday and Sunday. Can I just tell you something? Whatever you face, whatever Hades you're going through, can I just tell you something? Jesus Christ came to lift you out of that as well. Let's celebrate who he is and all he's done on the cross and for what he's going to do this Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection.
Speaking your love. your children as we sing to you. How can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
And years and years ago, a great preacher named S.M. Lockridge said, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Yes. So I want you, I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to say it back to me. I'm going to say, "It's Friday," and I want you to say, "Sunday's coming." It's Friday.
Sunday's
now look at your neighbor and say, "Sunday's coming."
Sunday's
now look at your neighbor and say, "I'm coming Sunday too." Listen. Easter is the great opportunity for you to bring someone to church. I'm telling you, 84% of people say they'll come to an Easter service if you will invite them. These are not random facts. These are your family, your friends, your coworkers, the people you care about, that their lives can be changed forever in a moment, in an instant, and spend eternity with Jesus. I'm praying for your friends and your family, praying for this weekend. Listen, this Sunday here at Mount Perrin North, we've got four opportunities for you to worship. We've got a sunrise service at the ball field at 7 a.m. And then we have three services here in the worship center, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. Be here, bring someone, and come with great expectation and celebration that day. Because you know why? Jesus really is risen. Amen? Amen, he is. Did you say something? Oh, okay.
I said
amen. Oh, okay. I thought I forgot something. I was like, okay, go ahead. Listen, guys, have a great, great Good Friday before you leave. Let me bless you before you get out of here, okay?
Yes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, let's give our response from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a great Good Friday.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to learn more about North, be sure to check out our website at mountperrinnorth.com. If you have any questions, you can email us at info@mountperrinnorth.com or give us a call at 770-578-9081. And if you're in the Marietta, Georgia area, we'd love to have you join us for worship next Sunday at 9:45 or 11:15 a.m. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.